Are you ready for the word this morning? Bump your neighbor, tell them you're looking good today. If you're sitting next to your mother or your wife, tell them you're beautiful. Amen. Listen, mothers are very dear to our church, to us as a church, and to our city, to our nation. I want you to know, mother, you play a big role. And for those of you that are still going to become moms, I hope you're listening. Listening with faith. Don't let disappointment, setbacks. You're trusting God to have a baby in marriage. You're going to have a baby this morning. Come on. You're going to be a mother. Maybe sometimes the bend in the road is not the end of the road. God is called. God is raising up mothers. When God has a plan, He uses a mother. That's what He did with Jesus. He needed a Mary, a woman of faith, to have childlike faith, to raise up the future generation. Mothers are nurturers. Mothers reflect God's nurturing love. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 13. As a mother comforts her child, so I, God, will comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. God is a nurturer. And God uses, God might not be here on this planet, but He's using your mother, and He's used your mother to be a nurturer. Remember when you fell, remember when you were sick, remember when you were not feeling well? You don't run to your dad, you ran to your mother. Mothers are warm. Mothers are caring. Mothers are nurturers. We thank God for nurturers. Mothers, you're a nurturer. Mothers wipe away the tears. They pray for us. They stay up late when we're sick. They hold our hands. They're a glimpse of God's tender, persistent love that doesn't let go. Thank God for a mother's warmth. Think of all the stories that when you were sick as a child, that your mom or an aunt or a grandmother would come. I've seen that in my wife, how she is a nurturer to our daughters. Mothers model sacrificial service. John 15, 13, greater love has no one than this, than he that lays down his life for his friends. Love is sacrifice. Mothers live this daily, and we honor them today. Sleepless nights, putting others first, sacrificing their plans, many times their careers, their futures, and their comfort for children, for others. It's a living picture of Christ and His sacrifice for us today. Mothers will give their last food for their children. So we honor them today. Mothers are self-sacrificing. If you look at the example in the Bible of Esther, how God used her for purpose. She took her position, her influence. She used her beauty. And even at the pinnacle of her career, she was willing to sacrifice it all. The Bible says in Esther 7 verse 3, Queen Esther replied, "If I found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared." She risked her own life for others. Her request was personal and urgent. Esther's bravery was risking her life for other people. And we see this throughout Scripture. We see it in our own lives. Our mothers are the ones that will lay down, that will sacrifice. It's a true heart of an intercessor. You'll see in most churches, even in ours, the majority of prayer warriors are mothers. They can pray for other people, not only just themselves. So we honor our mothers today. 1 Kings chapter 3, we all know the story about King Solomon, where he used wisdom to determine who was the real mother of the child. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 16, one day two women came to King Solomon. And the one, they both had children, and the one died, and the other one was jealous and was claiming now the ownership of the other baby. And they argued back and forth in front of Solomon, verse 23, until finally he said, "Both of you say this that this living baby is yours, Solomon said, bring me a sword. A sword was brought, and Solomon ordered, he said, cut the baby in half. That way, each of you can have a part of the child. Verse 26, please don't kill my son. The true mother screamed, Your Majesty, I love him very much, but give him to her. Don't kill him. There you see a beautiful picture of sacrifice. We love to talk about the wisdom of Solomon, but hey, let's just take a moment and pause and look at the sacrifice of the mother. She was willing to even give the child up because at that age, the child wouldn't even really have known. She was willing to sacrifice for the life. Beautiful story of sacrifice. Now I want to tell you, maybe not an extreme like that situation you will find yourself often, but mothers on a daily basis make sacrifices like this. So I tell our children, I tell my kids, you must tell your children, dads, let them appreciate and value the sacrifices of your mother. Teach them, remind them of the sacrifices, always putting the kids first. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 15, we see compassion and warmth in scripture of mothers. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? God's love is like a mother comforting those who have strained relationships. Maybe you have lost somebody, a friend. God is there to nurture us. Maybe your mother is not alive today. Mother, maybe you didn't really know your mother. I want you to know that our God is like a nursing mother. He will take care of you. Mothers are co-laborers in God's work, forming and shaping lives. This is an important one. I feel like I have to pause here. And I said earlier that God uses mothers as weapons for the kingdom of God. What do I mean by that? They shape and form the lives of other people. There's a great scripture in Isaiah chapter 54. It speaks about a blacksmith. That's what mothers are. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 54 verse 16. It says, Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. The Amplified Bible says, Listen carefully. I've created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces, creates, shapes, nurtures, raises a weapon for its purpose. And I've created the destroyer to inflict ruin. Contemporary English version says, Don't forget that I created metal workers who make weapons over burning coals. I also created armies that can bring destruction. God is raising armies, the spiritual army of God. That's your role, mother, to walk with God and to raise up those kids. It's a beautiful picture of a mother. What is a blacksmith? Well, a blacksmith may be an old term, but it was basically a metal worker in the old days who would sharpen iron and steel by heating it up and hammering it, putting it together, putting that piece of metal in the fire, taking it out and letting that metal get soft, and then hammering that thing into shape. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the day we live in. There's abuse. We're not promoting abusing your children physically. I understand that. But you have to understand, with everything that's original, that's authentic, there comes the fake. With the beauty comes the perversion. Now, as a result of that, we can't just throw it out. There is discipline, there is shaping, there is a molding. Parenting isn't passive. Mothering is not a passive job. You have to see yourself, mothers, like my wife said, as a forerunner, but you're a blacksmith. You have to shape people's lives. You have to discipline. I'm not saying we have to abuse, but God will use you creatively. It's one of the oldest trades around, the blacksmith. And let's face it, mothers can be very quiet. There's a good Afrikaans word this morning. Very angry. I mean, I grew up as well. I knew when my mother was upset. You know when your mother was upset. We got nervous.
I still get nervous. A fire, a hammer, a steel. Listen, I want you to know, raising children is a blacksmith's work. You put them through heat, you give them boundaries, you give them consequences, hard lessons, and you hammer on them with guidance and correction. And it may look rough, but you're shaping the nation. You're shaping the future. You're shaping a future president, a future leader of a community, of a region, of a nation. Hallelujah. So don't stay soft. Don't break under pressure. Don't let your children backchat you. Hallelujah. In today's age, everybody has rights. The poor teacher in the class is so scared to say anything because the rebellious little boy in the back has so much more rights than the authority. And it's not working. The church is the place where we'll learn how to raise up godly men and godly women. The Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard. Mothers, you are the blacksmiths. You are the standard that God is busy raising up. You don't hold back for nobody. Talk with authority and power. No ungodly law is going to stop the church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you that. I want you to know, raising kids is a blacksmith's work. Raising disciples is a blacksmith's work. Raising the standard in your workplace is a blacksmith's work. Come on, I'm talking to the men as well here. Raising Christian morals and values in a community is a blacksmith's work. We don't allow the culture to dictate to us. We are the children of God. We hail from above. We have a distant homeland. It's called heaven. And we are ambassadors on this earth. And last I checked, light is brighter than darkness. Hallelujah. Last time I checked, if God is for you, then who dare be against you? Last I saw, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. For God will be with you. Hallelujah. You're not going to make a mistake. Come on, this is what raising a nation is about. We're going to have time where the Holy Spirit is going to get poured out. We're going to have revival meetings. And we're going to shake and quake and be filled. But sometimes these messages is what really builds a church, a community, a family. Amen. Women have strength and dignity. True biblical strength is inner strength. Endurance. Amen. Like Sunny mentioned there, my mother-in-law passes her son, even at her age, she's got endurance, running races. Endurance, inner strength and physical strength. Inner strength is having the ability to restrain yourself. Talking to everybody, male and female here today. Obviously, we're focusing on the mothers, but this message can relate to all of us. Strength is not limited to physical strength. Because then men would always have the upper hand. God designed strength to be accessible to every woman. I want you to understand that. At every stage and at every age of your life, you can be strong. Say amen. You are not weak. You can be 10 years old and you can be strong. You can be 90 years of age and still be strong. That's why Caleb could say, even in my old age, I still have the same strength. He wasn't only talking about physical strength. He was talking about an inner strength, a faith, a capacity, a willingness, a daringness, a fight. Keep your fight alive. Don't let the world squash you. Don't let the light, don't let the world blow out your candle. Don't let the disappointment stop you dead in your tracks. Don't let the spirit of heaviness keep you from serving God. You will become everything God has called you to be. Amen. Don't let the opinions of man or the false words of people shape your children or yourself. So physical strength, listen now, physical strength can help you move weight. But godly inner strength can help you carry weight. The single mom who's raising those kids by herself is carrying an inner weight. We salute all the moms here today. Proverbs 31:25. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Come on, man. I want you to know this. Moms, listen. You must be able to sit back and say, I laugh at the days to come. I have joy. You don't have to be worried, bent out of shape, stressed out. You can laugh from your belly. Laugh in the days to come that your future is bright. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Her children arise and call her blessed. Come on, godly women have strength and dignity. So we salute all the moms for your strength and your lasting impact. We affirm moms today who serve quietly and faithfully, even in the background where no one sees. You know, let's face it, a mother's job is probably the most unrewarding. The dad comes home and gets all the glory, but the fact is it's the moms that do all the work. And I'm not taking a jab at the men, because then I'm taking a jab at myself here. The fact is the mothers do a lot of the behind the scenes work. Strength and dignity. Dignity means inherent worth that deserves respect. Dignity is not about fancy, rich, or loud. It's about carrying yourself in a way that says, I know who I am, and I know what I was made for. I know where my value comes. I'm precious and valuable in the sight of my God. The Hebrew word for dignity is hadar, H-A-D-A-R. It means splendor. It means honor. It means majesty. Sometimes it's hard to equate. You're in the trenches, you're dirty, you're raising kids, you're sacrificing, you don't feel beautiful, you don't feel loved. But I want to tell you this morning that you have dignity that God gives. You have to tell yourself, like Sunri said, I love myself. I know that sounds odd. When last have you done it? I love myself. I am beautiful. You have to believe it. You have to say it. Some ladies, they can't say it. They can't say I'm beautiful. They don't believe it. Let me tell you, beauty is within. Proverbs 31 says that outer beauty is fleeting. Come on, all the ladies and all the brothers, say, I am loved. Okay, if you're a dude, if you're a man, say I'm handsome. But all the ladies, say, I am beautiful. Say it again this morning. Come on, moms. Say, I am beautiful. I am aging gracefully. Amen. I have dignity. I have inner strength. Even in this age of my life. Come on, let's give them a hand. Strength and dignity means you can have calm courage. It's not about putting on a performance. It's about living out the fact that you already have value, so you don't have to scramble for it. Amen. Come on, ladies. You are clothed with strength and dignity. As I'm coming to a close here, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7, beautiful illustration again about the blacksmith, the mother, and the father teaching at home. It says, these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. You know, that's why the Bible plays such a big part in community building, in family building. I don't know where we would be if we never had the Bible in our marriage. I don't know where we'd be without the Bible in raising my kids. You can do it on your own and you can have a go. But, you know, your life and your children is not something that you want to play with. You want your kids to be raised up in the house of God. You want your kids to get to know Christian morals and values and God's ways. He's the creator. He's the author. He made your children. He knows best how to unlock their potential, how to raise their value. Every parent wants the best for their kids. Let me tell you, the best thing you can do is train up a child in the way that they should go. Let the Word of God equip you and help you. Amen. You may feel like you're not a great mom. I want to tell you, with God, you can be a great mom. You can be a great father with God. He will instruct you with the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He'll guide you. Your children will not be insecure. They will not be rebellious. They're not going to end up on drugs. They're going to have a beautiful future because God has ordained it. And you have chosen as a parent. As for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. So some of you as parents, you need to start making spiritual decisions. Not only now about you and your wife or your spouse, but about your children, about the generations to come, about the legacy that you want to leave. That one day when somebody says something at your funeral, there is something powerful
that is said over your life, and people rise up and call you blessed and honor you. Hallelujah. Teaching them at home these commandments that I give you today to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Some of you must have a conversation with your peers. So, hey man, who's influencing your children? Are you getting them in the right place? Your children are not a proof konyn, a test dummy, a project. They're your children. They're an extension of you. Amen. That's why backsliding goes out the window when you have children. Because now I'm not just living for me. Now you have to model your Christianity. Oh, your kids must be good. But you're living this life. Now you must go to church. But you don't go. Now's the time. There comes a shift in one's life. You realize, listen, I've got to live with legacy. I've got to live with purpose. Generation. Can't just live for Friday. Can't just live for paycheck day. Can't just live to party, party, party. No, you're a man. You're a woman of God. You have dignity. You have strength. You have honor. You're a person of value. You're a child of God. Come on, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance, not just for his children, but for his children's children. Generational. Not just wealth, please. That's not what really it's about. Yes, praise God for generational wealth. But it's far more than that. It's legacy. It's imparting wisdom and truth, character, the anointing, the blood of Jesus, peace, faith, covenant, blessing, healing, authority. These are words the world doesn't understand. Sometimes you have to take a hard, serious look. Hallelujah. So the Bible instructs us, these commandments that I give to you today, that they be on your hearts. It says they impress. I like that word, impress. Remember when you were dating your girl, when you were dating the guy, you always put your best foot forward. You impress them. You impress them. You want to impress people. You want to impress the girl you're dating. I wanted to impress Sunri a lot. Okay, I tried my best. Do some push-ups before we go out. My chest is packed. You're laughing, you did it as well. Spray doom. Make sure the breath is okay. Whoa, put some more on. Just don't totally spray out the can, okay? That the girl passes out. You want to impress? The Bible says, impress it on your children. God's commandments. Show them how good it is. Impress them that you serve God. Impress them. Impress them on your children. Yes, I understand what the word impress means. It means insert, but do it in such a way that it's attractive. They want to serve God. Amen. Be careful of a loose mouth and you start gossiping, skinnering, bad mouthing. Impress them on your children. I like what it says. It says, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. The New Testament or 2026 version, when you're in the car and you're driving down the N1 or the N12, when you're taking the kids to school, talk about it. In the daily, listen, ordinary role of life, impress God's ways. Come on, moms, you play a huge role. You are the blacksmiths. You are the weapons that God is using to shape and to carve out and to forge the beautiful future that God has. You should say, not on my watch. Not on my watch are my children going to become failures. Not on my watch is the school going to go down. Amen. It's going to be, things have got better here because I'm on the scene here. Faith formation happens in everyday moments. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, this is talking about faith that is passed down. And I honor Pastor Henny Susan for the example that they've been. Not just only to their children, but to their grandkids. And to many of you that have understood legacy, generational blessing, generational faith, Cameron Ponton, Stan Harvey, who put their faith into their grandkids as well, says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, in the Oma, Lewis, and in your mother, Eunice. And I like what he says. Paul says this. He says, and I'm persuaded that it now lives in you also. Come on, mothers. You're going to see that. That is a legacy. That is generational blessing. That is imparting something to the next generation and the generation thereafter. Mothers, you need a vision, not just for yourself, not just to look like a diva, not just to spend all the money of your children's future on oneself. You look good, look nice, be respectful. But you need to understand that true wealth is imparted into the next generation and into the generation thereafter. Hallelujah. This is what this church is about. CRC is building for the generations to come. It's not just about our generation. We're not here just to build this beautiful building for us. Some people are so arrogant, they criticize us for wasting money on a big building. Hey, this building is going to last for many, many generations. It's not for us. It's for the generations still to come, that your grandkids will come to the house of God. Maybe they'll have different technology, a hologram or something, I don't know, but we've made something, and your finances were invested in something worth investing for, not just your pension fund. Nothing wrong with your pension fund, but invest into something that has eternal value. Hallelujah. The focus was generational faith. This highlights how mothers and grandmothers shape the next generation's walk with their God. Pastor Susan always said, reverse the curse on your family's life through obedience. You can reverse the curse, this bloodline of alcoholism and adultery and this thing of it keeps on coming. You break it. You reverse the curse through your obedience. You break poverty, sickness, disease, fear. You break it through simply obeying God, through your obedience, standing on God's word, trusting. Come on, we see God reversing the curses over our lives and blessing us. Hallelujah. Now, why did I lose my... Oh, there's my place here. Amen. Come on, just bump your neighbor, say, hey man, the pastor's preaching truth here today. It's called legacy. Legacy. Faith is passed down in ordinary moments. Paul didn't tell Timothy faith started in the house of God or in the church only, or with a famous preacher only. No. He says it started with your grandmother. Faith started with your mother. Legacy is built at home. Come on. Your faith is built at your house. We appreciate this house. Don't get me wrong. We love this house. We love Sunday. Sunday is a sacred day. It is a special day. But hey, what about Monday to Saturday? Hey, what about what the conversations you're having in your house in the week? That's where faith is built. That's where legacy is created. Doesn't start there. It starts at home. Deuteronomy 6 makes the same point. God didn't say teach them only on the Sabbath in the temple. He said talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up, when you drop them off to school, when you pick them up from sport. Shape them. You know, as a parent, I've shared this example as well. When you see a tree that's growing skew, the green finger people, the horticulturists, the gardeners, they go put a stake, bam, boom, in the ground. Piece of metal or a piece of wood that's straight. And then they take that tree that's still busy growing and they attach it to this plumb line, the stick. You are that stick. You are the blacksmith. You've got to bring that thing back in line. You see the guys going off course.
You use and you shape their lives with your mouth, with your example, with your testimony, with your lifestyle. You are that stick that's next to the children, that's next to that young couple who just got married. You are the faithful ones. Your word, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. That stick that keeps that child, that parent, that young man, that young girl on track. That sincere faith is what sticks. Sincere faith. And I'm saying this not only for the mothers, but for the fathers as well. For those that are raising up disciples. Those that are trusting God to see change in our city, in our community. I mean, life. Discipleship is life. When you do the dishes and the car rides, the bedtime prayers, the hard conversations. Whoa, the sex conversation which Sunday takes. When you talk to your children about sex, you talk to your children about money, you talk to your children about peer pressure. You talk about the awkward conversations that no one wants to talk about, that they're learning at the school. Don't let them learn about the evil stuff without you first preparing them for. That's your role. You have to talk about these things. Pornography, masturbation. Talk about it. Talk about money. The love of money. Talk about the children's career. What is it that they want to do one day? Don't just send your kid for a test. Find out who they are. Watch them. Observe them. Channel them. Push them. Expose them to other things that you weren't maybe exposed to. Spend money on them. And if it's a waste, you say, okay, that's definitely not their gift. Let's get them into this area. Amen. I want to talk about it next Sunday. Talk about gut. Gut. You don't just live a life in your head. Theory. You have to learn to move with your gut, with your gift, with the unction on the inside. Ask a businessman. He makes decisions with his gut. Maybe it might not make sense with the natural or the reasoning or the intellect or the accounting or the finance, but you just have us knowing. Come on, young man, young woman, entrepreneur, businessman, businesswoman. You know, sometimes it doesn't make sense in the natural, but you have the Holy Ghost. You have this unction. As a parent, you'll have this unction. You don't know, but you just know. You just know something is not right. I have to go speak to my kids. I saw that with my wife. Many times with our daughters, she just had this unction. Give me your cell phones. What gaan aan hierso? What's happening? Parents know. I want you to know you have a spiritual gift. It's called discernment. Yeah. That's real life. That's the real life version. It's better to be and better to have the real life version. I want you to know, like Sunri said as well, you don't need to be a perfect parent, a perfect mother. There's no such thing. But there's the real life version of you that has far more impact. You get the New King James, you get the New Living Translation, you get the Amplified. Listen, you have permission today to have the RLV version of yourself. The real life version moms. Real life version fathers. You can just be real. You can tell your kids that you're not perfect. It's okay. It'll liberate them. Sincere faith is what sticks. Paul calls it sincere faith. Not performative, not fear-based, but real faith. That's what gets passed on to the next generation. That's our Lewis, and that's our, gone blank now, Eunice, were able to pass their faith down to Timothy. Timothy, the great Timothy, the great man, preacher in the Bible times of Paul. I mean, I see it at home cell as well. We have home cells and everybody shares the word and it's all nice. But the real discipleship would take place afterwards around the coffee and the tea. And then the guy says, listen now, talk to me. This baptism thing, is it really what it says? I said, yes. It's the realness as we go in life. That's why Jesus had disciples and they lived with him. They walked with him. You got to walk with Jesus. God will help you through the storm. Take the mask away. Take religion away. Take this perfect standard of you and just be real. That's the best example that you can give. Kids and grandkids can spot the fake a mile away, especially this generation. They're a switched on generation. They can quickly see No, this is fake. This isn't real. I've seen it with my girls. Lewis and Eunice didn't pass down a rule book. They passed down a living trust in God that Timothy could see. That's why the scripture says and confirms that it was passed down to Timothy. He says, I've seen it in her. I've seen it in her. And now I see it lives in you. Hallelujah. You're going to see it in you. We see the faith in you. It's the greatest honor for me as a pastor to hold the mothers, babies in our church. Because I see the faith in the mom, I see the faith in the dad, and I can only but imagine what this child is going to do. Hallelujah. And I want you to know, the blessing, the gifts, the talents, they don't reduce down the line, they multiply. They increase. They do double what you did. Amen. It's called generational blessing. So don't be an insecure parent if your children do far more than you. Your children are going to do far more than what you've done. Just say amen. Amen. They're going to travel the world. They're going to have far more money than you. They're going to marry a far more good-looking spouse than you did. They're going to have far more brains than you. Hallelujah. Because it's the blessing of God. It's the faith that passes on through the children and to the next generation. That's why he said, I will have mercy not only on this generation, but on the generations to come. God's blessing is passed on to the next. You've got to get serious with your life, mother. You've got to stop flirting with this world. Stop dancing to the music and the tunes of this world. Stop trying to impress the wrong people. You want to impress God. You want to live a life as Pastor Gerard life word was, live for an audience of one. It's time the church, it's time the mothers, it's time the dads would begin to grab a hold of this truth. You will shake a whole generation. You will see a blessing. It's sad, but you can't see it on your will one day. I leave a spiritual inheritance. No, you're busy with your will now. Your living will and testimony. You can leave assets and finances. That's one part, one of many. But you're leaving a spiritual legacy. That's what the world doesn't understand, what God understands through His Word. It's called legacy. My time is up. I'm going to close with this. You never stop being a mom. Mom, your neighbor, say, you'll never stop being a mom or a father. Yeah, we respect the adults now. They're married now. That's fine. And we never interfere with covenant. I can share that. My parents and my in-laws have never interfered with the covenant that I have with Sunri. They've always respected it. They never interfered. It's gossip or slander. They never came between me and my wife. When there was problems, they would assist. But they never... But I want to tell you, as mothers, you're still a mother. That's still your child. You raise them with your hand. Fathers, they're still your children. You can be 90. We see this with Jesus' mother. She didn't take even a no for an answer when they ran out of wine in the wedding in Cana. She was a bit stubborn because she was convicted. My mother's like that sometimes. I'm the pastor, but my mother still sometimes will sit me down and say, I have a concern about this. And as her son, I listen because I'm not a fool. I know she wants the best for me. Amen. Your father should do that as well. Your son can be 70 years of age and you can be 95. You can still sit your son down. You never stop parenting. Yes, praise God, they're out the house now. They're not your financial burden. But you're still their parent. And you see that tree still, even in old age, maybe going, you can bring it in line. We see that in scripture. Generational blessing. Grandparents still have authority in the family. Parents still have authority. I'm not talking about interfering with the marriage. We respect the covenant of man and wife. And the Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father's house. They become their own family. But that doesn't mean you now, your responsibility of raising them up and making sure that they become everything God has called them to be. We were, my wife and I were privileged to be at the funeral of Pastor Utz's mother, Ma Bosoff. She's a legend. Even in her old age, she still sit Pastor Utz down. And get his attention. And he would listen because she loved him and she could see things that maybe he didn't see. Hallelujah. You matter. Discernment. It's fine to pull rank. You can say, yeah, you're important, you're bigger. You may be that now. You may be the president of a nation, but I'm still your mother. Pull the rank. Set them down. And if you're a smart man, the Bible says, honor your parents. You'll be a fool not to listen. Honor your parents. And the parents in the Lord, your spiritual parents, so that you may live long in the land that God wants to give you. It's the first commandment God puts in the Ten Commandments that has and is attached to a blessing. So some of parents, you have to sit your kids down and remind them, we go to church, we build God's house, we put our kids in kids' church, we sing songs, we pray, we have fellowship, we forgive. We don't quit on our faith. Say amen. Luister vir jou pastoor. Now must be a blacksmith. Because we are called to rise up for generations to come. Luister wat die Here sê vanoggend. Listen to what God is saying. Amen. You can shout and speak up with a conviction. If people are going off the right paths. That brother that you were discipling that's backslid and you have the right with love. The Bible says it like this, Galatians 6 verse 1. My friends, you are spiritual, or you who are spiritual. So if someone is trapped in sin, you should gently lead that person back to the right path. Be the blacksmith in that person's life. Say, kom terug. Come back, man. Come back. I love you too much. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Don't just talk behind someone's back. Rather, open rebuke is better than the kisses of deceit in the background where no one sees you. Don't be that person. Don't gossip about that person. Rather, tell them to their face, listen, man, faithful are they might in the beginning get a little bit upset and get offended, but give them time. They'll come say, you were right. Thank you. Thank you for being a true friend. Thank you. Come on, have you received the word this morning? Come on, all our moms, it's time to be fired up. May our children, our grandchildren come to know God because of your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you received the word this morning? Come on, give Him praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, you're raising up godly mothers, godly seed. Our inheritance is this. The Bible says, your seed are for a sign and a wonder. Marilyn Hickey, who passed on to be with the Lord, I know she had a big impact on Pastor Ince's son. Some of you don't even know who she is, but she would always quote that scripture. Says, my seed, my children, and their children are for a sign and a wonder. It's in Isaiah. It's a prophecy. It's a scripture. Your children are going to be a sign and a wonder. People are going to say, wow, look at that child play sport. Wow, look at that child do business. Wow, look at that child be in politics. It's a sign and it's a wonder. Come on, that's the legacy what God wants to give to our church. How many of you are ready to receive it? Now let's live by faith. Amen. Come on, I want to close today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our mothers, for the ones that are here, the ones who've gone before us, and for the ways, God, that you've used them to shape us. Lord, may you bless them. May you keep them. May you make your face to shine upon them. May they know your love is poured out today as you did with Jesus. You poured out your love. You blessed our lives because you sent your son who died on a cross 2,000 years ago. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed. This morning you're sitting here today. You don't have assurance of salvation. You don't know if you were to die where you would end up. There's never been a day in your life where you've accepted or received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's no other way. There has to come a day in your life where you deny yourself, you take up your cross and you follow Him. You can't follow God in the shadows. No, but I'm a good person, Pastor. I'm a nice guy. You know, I do a lot of good works. There's nothing that you can do to buy your salvation. There's one way. You have to surrender. You have to acknowledge that you need a Savior. You have to repent of your sins and you have to put yourself fully on the cross, which is acknowledging Jesus. And I want to pray with you today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer that I prayed 25 plus years ago. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. There's a stirring in your heart. You know that your life isn't right with God. Maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Then I want to pray with you, please. Forget the person next to you today, please. Indicate to me right there. God is here today. Who knows? Who knows? We celebrated a person's life yesterday, Pastor Gerard. We all know him. Man who lived a life of faith. But at a 52, 53 years of age, that was his end. He woke up that morning, he didn't know it was his last day. But I want to tell you, he's in heaven today because he accepted Jesus. You don't have to go through life worrying about death. This is the start of the new generation, getting born again. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if that is you, please, just indicate to me right there where you sit. Just say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just on the count of three, if that is you, just slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip it up. Thank you. God bless you. I see that hand. Thank you. Amen. In the middle, thank you. There's a stirring in your heart. There's a conviction. You're feeling, yes, it's the Holy Ghost. Just respond. The Holy Ghost knows if you're saved. He's leading you, he's prompting you. It's that unction I spoke about. It's that gut in your gut. You're trying to suppress it, you're trying to override it. Come on, today you just gotta listen to it. Listen, be led by the Spirit today. Your heart is telling you, I'm not right. I need Jesus. Come on, you don't want to play games with this decision. He loves you too much. You'll stop this whole meeting for one person. You don't want to play with this. This is eternity. This is your moment today to make a decision. Come on, raise your head. Thank you. God bless you. Donkey. Thank you. I see those hands. The Bible says men in the valley of decision. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you, donkey. Yes. Amen. In Jesus' name. Family, won't you look at me on the special Mother's Day? Many of you today have made that decision. We want to help you, please. There's too many of you, I can't come to you. We're going to sing a song. Don't let fear, don't let the opinion of man override you. I need you to do one more thing. Yield. Please, bring your personal belongings. And I want to pray with you. But it doesn't work in the darkness. It works in the light. Come and meet me here. It's the altar. It's called place of sacrifice, place of surrender. Can we all stand? As we sing, all you wonderful people who raised your hand, just come. Don't even think about it, just come. Please, come meet us in the front. Bring your wife, bring your husband, come. Bring your best friend, bring your mother. Come. This is what it's about. This is the gospel. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say you want to go, I'll come with you. There were more of you. Come. Come on, you may be a parent today. You may be a mother. You may be a father. Come, this is a call for every person. Every person. You can be young and old. You can be black and white. Colored. Asian. Whatever the race is. Come. Come on, last time. Come, last time. Come. As a grandparent, I'm going to make sure I have this conversation with my grandkids. They might not like me. No, they will love me. I don't want to think about it. You cannot avoid the conversation of the eternal salvation. We avoid subjects of sex and money, but I want to tell you there's one subject you cannot avoid with your family, with your colleagues, with your boss. I was very nervous. I know I'm going a little over time, but it's Mother's Day, okay? I was a trainee auditor accountant. I was 20 years of age. My boss was 67, and I knew I had to share the gospel somehow. I was nervous, my knees, I'm this youngster. He's this well-experienced boss. And I was nervous, and I shared. I asked him, I testified. There's certain conversations that you must have with people, even at the risk of looking like a fool. Paul said it like this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation. That's who you are. You have to have that uncomfortable conversation with your spouse, because if he's not here tomorrow, shucks, I wonder where he is. Did he ever give his heart to Jesus? Did she ever have the opportunity? Did my kids ever have the opportunity to receive Jesus? Life is a vapor. The Bible says it. It's like a mist. You know, when you drive, the mist is here, and then by the time you drive through it, it's gone. Your life is a vapor. It's like this. It's over. When you check again, it's finished. Some conversations you have to have at the right time with the anointing, and God will help you. Thank you to you wonderful people for coming forward. Great to see these young men, ladies. I'm going to ask you to place your hand on your heart and say this prayer loud enough that you can hear it. It's your prayer. I'm just leading you in it. Say, Lord Jesus, this morning I repent of all my sins. I acknowledge publicly that I need a Savior. Jesus Christ, be my Lord, be my Savior. I invite you into my heart. From this day forward, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on a cross, you went to hell, you conquered the grave, and on the third day, the Father resurrected you. I put my faith in you. All the days of my life, I surrender. Use me for your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.